Welcome to the Happy Being Well podcast, where we talk about strategies and insights so you can live happy being well with your host, Rita Ferrugia. This podcast is presented by happybeingwell.com, your online store providing the best in all-natural wellness products, such as natural essential oils, all-natural bath products, all-natural facial masks, all-natural deodorants, irresistible leggings, crystals, including crystal home decor and kitchen items, herbal teas, natural sleep aids, and so much more natural wellness goodies at happybeingwell.com. Free shipping on any order within the USA at happybeingwell.com. Now enjoy the show.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Happy Being Well. I'm really excited to talk about today's discussion. I'm really, really passionate about this topic because personally, it took me, oh my goodness, like a long time to really, really discover my unexpected gift of trauma. And today's guest is Dr. Edith Shiro. I hope I pronounced it properly, and if not, she'll correct me. She is the author of The Unexpected Gift of Trauma, published by HarperCollins. And her book is amazing. I started reading it and it really was so fascinating how she, you know, like her passion and curiosity for this topic stemming from her family, her family trauma, and then specializing it, getting her PhD in trauma. In her clinical psychology studies. And she really, really went in depth with trying to, you know, differentiate what makes two groups of people who sustained horrific trauma, one thrive, such as an Oprah Winfrey or Nelson Mandela, and another group stays stuck and they hold on to the trauma and they play small or they really don't activate their full potential. Before we dive deep with Edith, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your online store for all wellness goodies such as aromatherapy items, crystals, leggings, all natural facial masks, all natural deodorants, herbal teas, and much more at happybeingwell.com, along with free ebooks. Wellness ebooks like free plant-based recipes and much more at happybeingwell.com as well. So Edith, welcome to the Happy Being Well podcast.
Rita, so happy to be with you. This is wonderful. I really am so honored and happy that you invited me. And this is such a great topic. And the way that you present it is wonderful. You pronounced my name perfectly. So
good. I'm happy I did. So your book is really fascinating. I love it. So explain, you know, why you did, because I read it. It's such a great book. Oh, you have to read it, guys. Go to Amazon, buy it, read it. It's so good. It's so great. So what led you to write the book, explore this topic further? And most importantly, I think everybody wants to know, what makes, you know, somebody that has trauma still thrive and be hugely successful, like an Oprah Winfrey or Nelson Mandela, or, yes, you know, we've heard celebrities even share their trauma and they've, yeah, you know, gone on to be successful, you know, or even horrific bullying and stuff. Like there's a lot of stories out there, you know?
Yes.
So let's go into it. Like, what?
Of course, of course. Listen, and that question is wonderful. And I think it's a great question to understand, you know, how we go about experiencing different things in life. So when I was growing up, I come from a family of Holocaust survivors, my grandparents, my family of refugees, Syrian refugees, European refugees, immigrants, and not just my family, but the community that I lived in. And I all the time saw some people were doing great, some people were doing super bad. They were depressed, they were limited, they were not doing well in life physically and emotionally. Some others given the same circumstances or similar circumstances, were like, you know, going about their lives in a good way. And then a third group of people, and that included my grandfather, were like thriving. Life was good. They were appreciating life. They were eager to do things, curious. They had really good relationships. They had a purpose in life. So I was like, wow, how does that happen? And my other question was, Rita, was how is it possible for somebody to go through war or somebody to go through a huge accident or to a huge loss and still go on with life? Like, how is that? I mean, imagine we have kids coming out of Ukraine now, like, you know, their families destroyed, their houses destroyed. How do you go on with life? Or when you're being sexually abused, how do you go on with life after that? Or, you know, your parents die in an accident, God forbid. How do you go on life with life? Like, how do you understand life after that? And as we say this, I think you perfectly gave the example. Some people stay stuck in that trauma and they keep repeating it, repeating it, repeating it, and they live very limited life because of it. Some people even develop PTSD, like everybody knows, post-traumatic stress disorder. Some people kind of like recover and they heal. And some people take that very thing that was the most painful, the most difficult, the most challenging, and they use it as a springboard for transformation. Mm-hmm. They say, you know what? This pain, I'm turning it into purpose. Now, I want to say with this that it's not like everybody chooses freely. There are like a lot of aspects or a lot of factors that go into it. You know, some people have more opportunity than others to go through this. Some people have more resources. Some people have more capacity. Some people are more aware. Some people are more capable. Some people have more support. So it depends. I mean, the fact that, yes, everybody can do it, but it's hard work. It's a lot of work. It's hard work. It's difficult. I mean, I have a feeling like you know what I'm talking about because you went through your own process of transformation, right? You know, when you go through difficult things, then, you know, it's a choice to say, I'm going to stop. I'm going to look at what's happening in my life. And you and I can talk about what that means, really, what trauma means, and decide if you want to go through a process of transformation or you want to keep doing what you're doing with all the defense mechanisms that we are so good at developing, right? We're like in denial, pretending it's not happening, developing all kinds of addictions, right? From to social media, to food, to shopping, to relationships, you know, to drugs, you know, and that keeps us in the same place where we are. It's only when we really stop and say, let me look at my life. Let me see what I'm doing. How come I'm carrying so much pain, so much suffering that I didn't even notice before? What do I do with this? How do I shift this around?
Love that. And I think in my perception, a lot of it has to do with, you know, the messages society gives. I mean, our society is so focused on, you know, like we're all, you know, social media has a big, obviously big part of our life now. It's kind of mandatory to have a social media presence. You know, as a part of your career or whatever, you know, a lot of people now want to be social media influencers. So I just feel like the big shift in our society is like to always present this like great image. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, we don't want to be walking around disheveled and, you know, however, I just feel like it's so easy to get tunnel vision and just focusing on, you know, all the good aspects and always trying to cultivate, you know, our best selves, that we get this tunnel vision where we're not like trained or, you know, or it's not really discussed or encouraged to look at things that, you know, that were not pretty or ugly that we've experienced, because we want to present this like kind of like a perfect image, you know, well posed, everything's great, or everything's positive, and that's great. I'm not saying nothing's wrong with that, but I think in our personal lives, we really should be more like aware through reading books like yours. And by the way, her book is actually really good. You should be reading her book. that's like kind of the first step because it increases your awareness on how to transmute and transform
exactly
any painful event, and most importantly, recognizing it too, because I can speak for myself, like for me, it's the micro I had issues to even recognize just due to the covert conditioning of society of constantly being, having that tunnel vision of like, just focusing on getting those good marks, getting into that good university, you know, getting the good job, the house, blah, blah, blah. Like making sure, you know, my hair's like done every day for work and, you know, all those things. Right. And again, nothing wrong with that. However, it just focuses our vision to constantly be there and not look at the stuff under the carpet, like all those to kind of process it and how that's affecting our decision making in terms of who we partner up with, who we what kind of behavior we tolerate in terms of toxicity, you know, because that's our psychological makeup. That's what makes our psychological makeup.
You know, and you say a really important word, which is awareness. And that sometimes we go through life and there are events in our lives that shake us to the core, like, you know, going through extreme traumatic experiences, an earthquake, an accident, a war, like I said before, loss, like poverty. You know, these are like evident traumatic experiences. They shatter our belief system. They shake us to the core. They make us not be able to function. We don't know who we are, who's the other person, how the world functions. You know, for some people, for example, the pandemic was very, very disturbing. And yeah, a lot of people were like, what am I doing in this world? Well, I don't understand anything. It was very shattering for a lot of people because of the loss, because of the lack of understanding. But sometimes trauma doesn't come in that shape. Sometimes it's little microaggressions that we go through life, or little attachment dysfunctions in our household. Ongoing chronic dysfunctional relationship with our mother, with our father, with our caretaker, with our caregiver, that creates a very traumatic experience in life, and especially a traumatic childhood. So those are also experiences that, unless we really do work on ourselves and are really become aware of who we are and how we are in the world and the kind of reactions that we have and the kind of decisions that we make, we're going to have a whole life being in automatic pilot, thinking there's nothing wrong with us. And why is this bothering me so much? And how come all my relationships are so dramatic and dysfunctional? And why am I keep repeating stuff that I want to repeat without being aware that there's something that has happened that's usually in our childhood that has defined and determined a lot of our trauma responses in life? So being, and sometimes it's not like somebody's going to come and tell you, no, by the way, you know, it's because of your relationship with your mom that you really have to do the work, because it's not as evident. Sometimes people go through racial discrimination all their lives, ostracizing from a community, being the outcast, being bullied in school. Do you know how many people I have that come to my office? You know, I'm a clinical psychologist. I see patients every day. And say, you know, Edith, I was bullied when I was in fifth grade, and I have not, and this is like 20 years later, I have not been able to get over that because it was so painful for me being rejected and not feeling that I belong and not knowing who I was and thinking that there's something wrong with me because I wasn't pretty enough, or I wasn't rich enough, or I wasn't a good student, or I wasn't popular enough, that it's taken me 20 years to even take the risk to choose a partner. I mean, I've had people say, I have not been able to establish a relationship with another person to get married or something because of the bullying that I went through in school, because it was not recognized, or it was not taken as like something traumatic, or it was not attended to. And it really determines a lot of the things in your life. So, you know, something to think about, that trauma doesn't have to be this big thing, and it still has a voice and it still has a path. And that's why talking about how to deal with it and how to get to the other side, which is really what I love the most, is the post-traumatic growth. It's how do you really grow from something like that, not stay stuck in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I personally have experience with those micro traumas because it took me such a long, long time to recognize how it really impacted my decision making, most importantly, in partners and what I tolerated, and in friendships as well. And I just kept recreating those relationship dynamics and stayed in it because it was familiar, because it was a relationship dynamic pattern from my childhood. And I remember taking it on as a challenge because it's like, because part of it is like, oh, I can, you know, because you want to flip the script. Because you were trying to flip the script in your childhood with these, the first primary relationships that we have, it's in the household. And so, yeah, so I remember taking on it as a challenge. And oh, and also I'm a recovering codependent. I'm strong enough to take this on. I'm strong enough to, kind of combat the toxic behavior. Because toxic people are not always toxic. You do form a bond and they can be nice at times, but it's a cycle, and the toxic behavior outweighs the good times of moments of doting on you or acts of kindness. That's what keeps you hooked. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, including myself, you're scared to lose that relationship, whether it's that friendship or the actual an intimate relationship, so true. Yeah. And it took me a long time to really recognize it.
No, it's not easy. I mean, sometimes we have to hold both opposing sentiments.
Enjoy the healing and uplifting benefits of natural essential oils for aromatherapy so you can live happy being well. Check out our large selection of natural essential oils in our bath and body section at happybeingwell.com. Every order includes free shipping in the USA. Subscribe to Happy Being Well's email newsletter for 10% off your first purchase. We also carry aromatherapy diffusers, so you can enjoy aromatherapy in your home. Pick up an aromatherapy diffuser today for your home office, bedroom, and living room, so you can live happy being well. Our diffusers are in our natural home section at happybeingwell.com.
With the same person. I was working with a 10-year-old girl who was abused by her father, and she loved her father. And also she despised her father because she was like, how am I loving him and hating him at the same time? And it's like, yeah, that's exactly what happens, especially because as a 10-year-old, you depend on your father for survival because he's your primary relationship, because he's supposed to embody, what is love, what is safety, what is protection, which he would give to her and at the same time hurt her, and be the most dangerous and unsafe place to be. And it was both at the same time. So imagine the struggle. So especially with being children and going through difficulty in our primary relationship, like you're saying, it's such an ambivalent place to be. It's like the very people that's supposed to provide security, safety, nurturance, predictability, protection is the same people that are really shaking our very belief in how life works. It's like, do I trust or do I not trust? Is this going to happen or is it not going to happen? Am I going to be able to be myself or am I going to be punished for being myself? Is this safe to go to? Should I be vulnerable or open, or should I be constantly protecting myself and try to repair all the time? And these are the kind of things that happen early on in attachment. I mean, there's some therapists, some psychologists like Gabor Maté. I'm sure you've heard of him. He's in fashion now, that says that everything comes from childhood trauma. I don't know if I believe that everything comes from childhood trauma, because I don't think everybody has a childhood trauma experience, but everybody has some sort of trauma at some point. Some people have it in childhood, some people have it in adulthood, but it's that loss of innocence. It's that, like, that place when you no longer know, when you begin to know that the world is not this perfect place and everybody's good. It's there's something else going on. Life is not so good or so perfect and everybody's not so good. There's good and bad, there's up and down, and things can go bad and then can go good again. So there's like that loss of innocence and like more, a more realistic understanding of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love they brought that up too, because it took me a long time to really recognize that there are human predators out there, you know? And me being like empathic and codependent, I was always the target. Anyways, but you know, now I've gotten to a place where, you know, I mean, prior to recognizing that, I've always kind of looked at the world with rose-colored glasses, just because no one really talked about it around me, about, you know, human predatory behavior, you know, narcissists and all these things that, which I'm glad we're having more of an open dialogue in today's culture now about these things. Because you know what, if I had known about these things, I would have been able to recognize human predators and better be able to walk away and protect myself instead of going through, you know, these relationship traumas. But the thing is,
and just so you know that people that have, like, you're describing as predators and you're describing as narcissists, come from places in which they were traumatized themselves. Mm-hmm. So not to justify, you know, their behavior, but to say that people are not necessarily born like that. They go through their own very, very difficult traumatic experiences in which they develop this kind of responses. And then mm-hmm. what they do is that they repeat with others what it was done to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I was with one for a long time, like 10 years. I know. I know.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. What was I going to say? So the way I now look at it is, you know, I can recognize it like really quick due to that, which is a gift. And also, you know, I did get a lot of gifts from that previous relationship. And I believe my soul kind of needed that experience. Number one, because I recognized the root cause of my micro trauma from childhood mm-hmm. that I was never recognizing before. And also now I've come to the point where I accept that there's people like this out in the world and I have compassion for them. However, I'm no longer going to be entangled with, you know, toxicity like that, you know, recognizing it, accept it, you know, we live in a duality. And there's good and bad in everything of every aspect of our life. And it's like, I feel like it's inevitable that because of that duality that we just always have to transmute and transform the bad into good. I just feel like that's kind of like, you know, a law of nature in a way, because, you know, these two forces exist. We have hot water, cold water, mesh it together, we get warm water. So I just feel like, you know, seeing people like you, reading books like you, we learn how to transmute it and mm-hmm. look at it from a more healthy lens in order to up-level ourselves and graduate to higher levels of awareness, insight, tools. And in your book, you describe frameworks. There's frameworks to get to a place, you know, when recovering from trauma in order to thrive. So, which I find interesting.
Yes, 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 yes. I think that's one of the things about my book that I really, really wanted to get out there is to help people put into words and identify and describe the stages that they go through invariably. Like some of the things that you were saying now about your transformation, it's exactly what I hear over and over and over with my patients, with the groups that I work with the communities that I work with. People say, even though I don't wish this bad thing on anybody, it's the best thing that ever happened to me because it made me be who I am today. And of course, you know, it's very painful to go through some, you know, like you say, like 10 years of being in a very difficult relationship or in a very, you know, traumatic relationship. But there's something that happens, the learning, the transformation, the gifts that come with that, that you would not get otherwise. I'm not saying that's the only way to get it, but there are five basic steps or stages that I talk about that are really describing this. You can remember them as AABBT. So it's awareness, awakening, becoming, being, and transforming. But let me say them. The first step really is to say radical acceptance into who you are, where you are, and what's going on. It's really pausing after being in a bad relationship for so many years and keep repeating and repeating and repeating and say, hey, hold on, what am I doing? This is so painful. I'm suffering so much. You have no option but to stop and say, okay, I can't anymore. This is too much. It's like the alcoholic saying, okay, yes, I'm an alcoholic. My life is about to be destroyed. I'm about to die. You know, if I don't do something, I'm going to destroy everything around me. Or it's the sexual person that was sexually abused saying, you know what? Yes, it's true. I can't keep denying it or dissociating. I've been sexually abused. So it's that moment of radical honesty to say, this is who I am. This is what's happening with me, and putting a name to it. Really naming what's happened to you. Naming that original situation that gets you to where you are today. The second stage is that stage of safety and protection, which is, let me reach out to even one person and express what I'm feeling. Sometimes this is where people really reach out to a professional, or they go to a community group, or they go to like go hiking into the mountains, or they go into a yoga class and they're like, okay, I need to express all of this and trust at least somebody and start saying what's been happening to me. Like, you know, yes, I was in a horrible relationship, or yes, I was abused by my parents, or yes, you know, I lost my loved one and I haven't been able to get over it, something like, or I moved countries and I don't know what to do with it anymore. You know, it's like that moment of like beginning to talk about it, exploring the feelings, putting names to the feelings, and really getting it out in a safe place, in a contained place. And that can be with words, that can be with the body, that can be dancing, that can be meditating, but it's really getting it out. It's beginning to let it out. The third stage is a stage of new narratives, the stage of becoming. It's a stage of like, you know what, let me start trying out new ways of thinking. If I was in this kind of relationship for years, over and over and over, how are new ways of entering even a relationship, of like even looking at another person and saying, how do I evaluate what's good, what's bad? What am I doing? And then this is usually when people go into reading other books, getting into new, you know, systems of thinking, becoming, you know, some people go into religion, into spirituality, into like, you know, you start trying out new ways. Some people go and, you know, go for a year abroad or do something radical, you know, to try something different. You know, but it's like, okay, let me try a new story about myself. It's like, I don't want to be just the victim of abuse, or I don't just want to be the person that attracts bad people all the time. Let me rewrite the story in a different way. Let's see how I turn it around. It's like a reinventing, reshifting, rebirthing, all this re, you know, I have all these re, you know, words in the book. The fourth stage is a stage of integration. It's how do you, after you've explored and you've done and you really start to become this new identity, you integrate what happened to you in the past. You say, yes, I am this, but I am also that. Yes, I come from a very traumatic childhood, but and I am also this. And the whole thing is what makes me who I am. It's me together with all my parts, all my pieces. I'm not neglecting any of my pieces, because part of these pieces is makes me who I am. Yes, having a bad relationship with my parents allowed me to then develop in this way. Or being a victim or a survivor of abuse has allowed me, you know, it's yes, I've been abused, but I've also been, I'm this advocate and I'm doing this and I'm right. I wrote a book about it. I'm doing, you know, so, or I healed from it, you know, all these things are happening. And then the fifth stage is a stage of wisdom and growth, which is the stage of post-traumatic growth, my favorite stage. It's when you really enter into a place in your life when you truly appreciate life from a different place. You walk in gratitude. You're like, you know what? I'm grateful that I'm alive. I'm grateful for who I am, for what I have. Your relationships become much more meaningful. Your purpose is more clear. You know what you do. Maybe having a podcast now, for example, for you, Rita, is like part of your purpose, I'm sure. It's like, you know, helping other people the way that you went through your own transformation. People become more connected with like the, you know, with something higher or bigger than themselves. There's like an awareness, like we are all connected somehow. There's more spirituality there. And the priorities are changed. It's like, you know better what your priorities are. You know what's important and how to go about it. And you really see that in the person's life. And it's a beautiful thing to see. It's a true transformation. That's why it's difficult to do, because you have to go to the darkest, darkest, lowest place. But then you go to a very high place as well because of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. For me, in my experience, you know, I had to spend a lot of time alone. I just really relate to just calling it kind of like an ego death, because, because a big part of the reason why I wasn't able to recognize the root cause of my micro trauma, or just really exploring that, or able to see it or whatever, is because of ego, because it wasn't sexy. And nothing that I wanted to talk about to anybody or even acknowledge within myself. Just wanted to look at all the good aspects of life in myself to, you know, appease my ego, right? Because the ego is all about feeling good. So it's kind of like blocking the ugly stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I feel like in my lifetime, I've gone through to like 2 ego deaths. And I just feel like as we grow, we're always going to be kind of going through more ego deaths as we elevate higher and higher.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's a perfect example. I'm so grateful that you're using those words and you're saying, this is not a linear process whatsoever. This, I see it more like in spirals. And yes, we go through the ego death and then we recover, we grow, and then we go into another one, and then we go higher and higher. And I think part of like being able to do this, it takes so much courage, because it's like going from a playful place of shame and vulnerability to like to admit things that are very difficult to admit, and to sit with like big monsters and big shadows of our lives, right? To say, to look at our shadow side, to look at our, you know, dark, difficult place and say, yes, that's also me. That's also me. And I have to accept and I have to admit it and I have to work with it. And that's when you really transform it. But it takes a lot. And also, I think it takes a lot of support. I don't know how was it for you, or what helped you make that turn? I always ask this question to people. What was the one thing that helped you shift? Was it like a person? Was it a place? Was it like a belief? Was it a moment? Was it like, what was it that makes you have that shift of like, okay, I'm beginning to be on the other side?
For me, maybe because I'm such a code, I don't know. it was me being myself. Like maybe because I'm such a code, I don't know. It was me being myself. Like I like to be alone. I'm an introvert too. Mm-hmm. I like being alone. That's my natural, level of comfort. And I was alone a lot in childhood for the first like 4 years of my life. So my sibling didn't arrive until I was 4. My dad worked a lot and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, but she had PTSD from her childhood, so she was never really present. So I learned how to entertain myself and use my imagination. And so I really like actually have a lot of fun with myself.
That's great.
So when I went through my ego death, I literally spent time alone, enjoying things, like doing things in solitude and going through a lot of self-reflection, to ask myself questions like, well, why did I tolerate this? And just looking back and hitting the rewind button in my personal movie and, identifying triggers, identifying my trauma response. Was it fight, flight, or freeze. And a lot of it is freeze, you know, going back and then realizing why I was tolerating it. That was like I think that was during my second ego death, realizing the roots of it. And then just kind of now when you have that awareness, when you're presented with those situations, you can see it and you're going to react differently. You're not going to tolerate it anymore. And you're going to basically just cut, you know, whether it's, for me, it's mainly just, toxic people. You know, doing a lot of, exercises. Like, I mean, I meditate a lot. I've always meditated a lot. And journaling, just basically chalking it up to self-reflection and calming the nervous system down in order to do that. Because that's how I tap into my unconscious mind more, because the conscious mind, again, that's where the ego kind of lives. And so when I go deep, when I go within, you know, through taking it back, that's why I launched happybeingwell.com, is because it sells all of these natural wellness products that calm your nervous system down, like aromatherapy, natural bath products.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You see what I mean? It's like the very thing that was the most painful, the most difficult, the most traumatic. It's the springboard. It's that moment that shifts into like, wow, that's where you step into then, you know, growing and turning it into your life purpose in some way. It's like, that's the very thing, like the wound becomes the awakening, you know, the very wound becomes that place where things, you know, begin to flourish and to grow. But, and again, I don't want to make it sound like it's all rose colored glasses and everything is wonderful. It takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of, you know, courage to sit there and to go through the painful process, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and then you're better able to make better decisions. And I feel with me too, I had much more energy because now I've cut off things that were draining me, things that were making me relive, basically reliving the original micro traumas or whatever that you were tolerating to begin with. And it's a resistance too. It's a resistance because I'm trying to change the people, right? But I'm really trying to change the primary people that I was exposed to in childhood by changing these other, secondary characters. So it's a lot of exerting effort. Plus there's like negative energy coming at you to drain you. So my energy levels increased. It was like a whole rejuvenation.
I love it.
I swear, I feel like I look younger as a result of it too.
That's amazing. I believe that. Yes, you know, that's amazing. That's amazing that you're able to like recover your energy and also renew the energy, because part of these patterns, we go into repetitive patterns, and this is like very well known in psychology, you know, Rita, this is like how we try to repair our childhood traumas. We keep bringing people into our lives that are the perfect roles for the movie. You know, it's almost like we cast the people in our life to keep repeating that same original trauma. And we find them, I tell you. I mean, it's a very efficient way of watching a movie. It happens in a way that you're like, wow, how did I do that? Like exactly the characteristics of like the, and they already know the script, funny, right? They already know exactly what they have to say, how they have to say it in order to repeat the drama. And then we relive it, because our childhood fantasy is that we're going to be able to get out of it. We're going to be able to heal it. We're going to be able to solve it. The problem is that we don't do it. We don't solve it because it's impossible, because we are trying to put something in the present that happened in the past. And we keep reliving the past as if it was the present moment. And that's what trauma does. When you haven't healed from trauma, you keep reliving it as if it's happening right here, right now. Your body believes that it's happening right here, right now. The body has no awareness that it, you know, what's present, past, future It's like right here, right now, I'm living it again and again and again and again. And that's why it keeps happening. It's your by default mode, because this is what you know. This is what's familiar. This is how the roadmap that you know. And it takes a whole other roadmap to be able to say, no, I'm not going to walk this way anymore. I'm not going to cast the same amount of people. I need to change the movie. The whole movie I need to change. Not just the characters. The whole story of the movie. That's why the narrative is so important. It's like, what narrative are you going to write now? Because the narrative that you've been given doesn't work. It's not good. Mm-hmm. It's bringing you a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. Like, so consciously, intentionally, you have to say, I'm writing something else. I'm writing a different script. I'm taking charge of writing what I feel. It's aligned. It's truthful. It's conscious. And this is the story that I want to tell about myself and about the others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. It's so super, super empowering. And I mean, it's a lot to it. And there's a lot of education that, you know, we need to cultivate in order to get to that point, right? Like reading your book, the unexpected gift of trauma, and just constantly just immersing yourself into that education, you know, whether it's listening to a seminar, working with a psychologist like yourself, podcasts like Happy Being Well, other books. Like that was my journey. It's just always been a constant immersion.
For sure.
Because we're not going to fully absorb it in one book or, you know, in one seminar or one podcast episode. It's like, you know, I always like to kind of equate it to, you know, look how many years we've been indoctrinated in school, and that's just to get a job. You know, it's like, I can't, it's like what, over, my gosh, like over 10 years of schooling, you know, so yeah, it's definitely way over. If we include yes. University years, it's like, could be 20 years or something. It's crazy. So yeah, if we look at that, and that's just to function in society, you know, to be, to pay our bills on time, to be responsible citizens, you get a job, whatever, you have a routine. So think about that in terms of, because we were never taught this in school. This was never indoctrinated into us. So now we have to go and do it ourselves, take that initiation and seek the education to have that awareness levels. And also for me too, it's not only you get awareness and education to learn the tools, but when, like, for example, with your book, it has so many stories of people who've done it and going through that process of, you know, kind of like asking those questions and asking, well, why am I stuck? And, you know, that journey, you know, when you read someone's journey, it empowers you. Because you hear other people who've gone through much, much worse, horrific traumas. And it's like, well, wow, like if they could get over it and what was their journey? What was the catalyst to the transformation or what empowered them to kind of have the courage and self-discipline to put in the hard work to literally go through that transformation? Because it is a lot of hard work. It's sacrifice. For me, it was, I it's not like I was spending time with my friends, you know, socializing. I literally devoted time for myself, a lot of time alone, doing self-reflection, meditation. That's a choice. You know, I could have been spending that time on the phone with friends or watching TV or whatever other habitual habits that have been socialized into us from society.
Yeah, for sure. Yes.
I love this.
Yes, I love how you put it. And yes, it's definitely a choice. It's definitely a choice that we make. And I'm glad that you're saying that it's the choice of education, of not staying in ignorance. It's being able to be proactive about our growth, about our evolution, about our consciousness. So I really appreciate that you're saying that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I really enjoyed this conversation. And so if people want to purchase the book, The Unexpected Gift of Trauma, where can they go?
This is the book, The Unexpected Gift of Trauma. They can go to Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Indie, anywhere really. It's on the platforms. It's in a hardcover, softcover, Audible, Kindle. So really anywhere you can get it. If you can't get it, call me. I'll send it to you. It's like, and, you know, really, I want everybody to be able to get this book, to enjoy it, to learn from it, to have a conversation. I'm always open for conversations, for dialogue, to, I love to hear what people have to say about it and what, how it hits them or what they get from it. So I'm very, very grateful that, you know, we were able to talk about this. And I'm so happy that you're such a good example of post-traumatic growth. And it's beautiful to see people like you, Rita, that are really shifting the narrative and that are also helping other people to do the same. So I'm super honored and grateful to be here.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for being here. Such an amazing person. I can tell you're really passionate with what you do and you really have a genuine curiosity. And yeah, so it's awesome. Where can people go if they want to learn more about you? And where can people go to learn more about you?
Yeah, so usually I post a lot on Instagram. So Dr. Edith Shiro, so dr.edithshiro. Also Facebook, the same Dr. Edith Shiro, and my website, www.dredithshiro.com. And hopefully soon, the book just launched 2 weeks ago, but I'm working on doing some sort of training for people that want to learn more about the 5 steps and to go into like understanding post-traumatic growth, and even for mental health professionals to have this as a tool to, in order to use for the community, coaches, you know, mental health professionals, therapists, any kind. So we're going to be opening for groups and for more in learning about this. And of course, I'm giving conferences everywhere. So catch me somewhere to giving a talk about this. And I would love to keep sharing more. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's awesome. Okay, guys, all her links are going to be in the show notes. So I highly recommend buying the book and learn and check, you know, Edith Shiro out in terms of her upcoming trainings if you are in the mental health field or if you're a coach. So thank you again. I really love this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sending you many blessings.
Me too.
All right.
The same, Rita, the same. We'll be in touch. Bye.
Yes,
thank
bye.
You.
All right. Bye,
ciao,
guys.
Ciao.
Remember, to everybody, be happy being well.
If you learned something new or were inspired to live happy being well, please be sure to subscribe to the Happy Being Well podcast so you don't miss an upcoming episode. Also, please feel free to leave a 5-star review, including what you learned or what inspired you in today's episode. This podcast is presented by happybeingwell.com, your online store for natural wellness products, so you can live happy being well. Order your next all-natural essential oil, all-natural face mask, all-natural bath soap, all-natural deodorant, herbal tea, crystals including crystal home decor and kitchen items, irresistible leggings, and much more at happybeingwell.com. Free shipping on all orders within the USA.